So welcome back to the second hour of Tuesday Live with Linda, September 15th. And before I go on with our hands, I want to take this opportunity now to introduce a guest today, Ruthie Alon. And it's just such an honor to have you here with us today, Ruthie. And I would love it, Gretchen, if you would introduce Ruthie Alon, because you're wonderful angels in the Feldenkrais, one of our master teachers in the Feldenkrais work. Gretchen, could you come on and introduce Ruthie?
Well, thank you for that honor. But I don't think she needs any introduction. Maybe she does, but...
We have many people here who are not Feldenkrais people who would love to know something about Ruthie. And I've been hearing, of course, of you, Ruthie, all these years from Eleanor, because and Anka Rechtenwald also. But I've never had, and of course we've spoken now, but I've never had a chance to actually spend time with you. And I'm hoping maybe one of these days that will happen. So Gretchen, for the rest of them who don't know who Ruthie is, I'd love an introduction.
Yes, so
Linda, I don't know if you can hear me, but Ruthie is not on anymore.
Ah, okay, well, okay. Because you have so many Feldenkrais practitioners here, I'd just like to honor her. And it was really wonderful, Gretchen, that you invited her on here.
Well, we were talking yesterday, and I was just telling her so much. And of course, Ruthie understands all this, and I have no doubt for however long she was on, she was inspired and is already doing it and using it. But Ruthie is the creator of Movement Intelligence, and she has five programs actually under that umbrella. Bones for Life, Walk for Life, which is walking with poles, and the benefit of being a quadruped. It's not about mileage or the exercise, but it's about reintroducing that evolutionary aspect of our development, and it's wonderful. So Bones for Life, Walk for Life. She has Bones for Life on chairs for people who can't easily get down to the floor. She has solutions for optimal mobility.
Thank you. So I don't want to take too much time since she's not here.
That's it.
But I just wanted to honor her and honor that you brought her into us. And,
okay.
You know, to have her still active in the Feldenkrais community and with what she's brought to the community is just really an incredible gift. I want to read something. Unfortunately, Pam Beats just said, rats, I have to leave. But Marianne, can you find what she wrote? Because she was, of course, while she was doing T-Touch, Pam is one of our, been a practitioner for the Tellington work since the 80s, and also one of the long-standing Feldenkrais practitioners. And so she had quite an interesting experience from this. Can you find that, Marianne?
I'm taking a look. She's got several comments in here, so I'm trying to figure out which one.
She said is that she could exhale longer without it triggering her asthma issues.
Whoa. We were just talking about that on the phone last week. That's a big deal, especially with the smoke and everything. And that Francoise, might be really helpful information for you. There was something else that she said here. I've been doing T-Touch, laser T-Touch on my hand as we have been talking, and the relaxation in my back and ribs is wonderful. That's what I saw, and that's what I wanted to share with that. Thank you.
I say something regarding her improvement for asthma from this work?
For Pam, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Eleanor, please. Now, though many of you haven't seen Eleanor Silverstein, you all see her on Sundays. What am I talking about? But we haven't had the pleasure of you being on with us on Tuesday, so yay!
Well, so I got perked when Pam wrote to you right here saying that it improved, even though the air quality was poor, it improved her asthma to be better. And part of that is what I've been saying in when we do the circle and a quarter touches, when we do the heart hug and we are gliding the skin over the connective tissue, when we are being aware in our breath and that exhalation through pursed lips, all these ways that we touch and work improves our vagus system quality. And when the vagus system works well, it's an anti-asthma thing. It improves our breathing capability. So part of, yes, asthma gets worse with particulate matter that's happening all along, you know, with everything in the air and pollen and dust and smoke, but also when we're stressed and our vagus system is being hampered, that also ups the breathing issues too. So when we're doing these simple circle and a quarter touches, and I know that we can do it with our heart hug, and I believe that it is wherever we do these circle and a quarter touches, that we are gliding the skin over the tissue over it, underneath it, that is improving. And remember, Linda, we all hooked each other up to the M wave, and we saw heart coherence improve through heart math programs that they had. And that's all of these touches that we do. That's all of these touches. And improved heart coherence is improved vagal tone. And improved vagal tone is your whole well-being, including your ability to breathe well, which means opening up those lungs and letting them function. This work is out of this world and in this world. Bless you, Linda.
Well, thank you. So what I would like to know now is, Charlotte, I think you had another, you also had some issue with your hand, or yes?
We're unable to hear you, Charlotte. I can see your lips moving. And just while she's hooking up, just a reminder, we don't ever diagnose, treat, or cure an illness. We work with touch in cellular wisdom, but T-Touch is not meant as a replacement for medical treatment.
Ever. And I was so happy because I received, while we're waiting for her, Charlotte to come unmute herself, I was so happy, and I'm trying to think what the issue was, but I think I was talking with somebody who, it was Lois, who had never gone to a doctor, and I had suggested something for her foot, and she had a great deal of help from, had no idea that she had a major problem that has really been helped by getting medical help. Sometimes, you know, it's really important to know what's going on, obviously. So was Charlotte able to unmute?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, sorry. My laptop broke last week with the earphone socket, so I had to get an adapter, and now it's all a bit confusing. So I'm glad you can hear me. Okay, so I got diagnosed with osteoarthritis in my fingers initially 10 years ago, the youngest person my rheumatologist has ever seen at 34. And I have tracked the weather affects me. So the middle joint, especially this finger, swells like really bad and it's painful. So it's to do with, they always talk about barometric pressure, but it's humidity for me. So when it's hot and dry, I'm fine. When it's very humid in Britain, so when it's hot, it's usually a lot of humidity in the air. So at this moment in time, we've got a heat wave. It's about 30 degrees Celsius, which is strange.
Where are you?
In Dorset, in the UK. Oh, yeah. So right. It should be about 15, 16 degrees Celsius, and it's 30 degrees now. Whoa, so it's double. Wow. So, and I'm a little bit swollen, and I've been tracking on my phone, because on the weather apps, it has the humidity, so that it's actually really quite helpful. So it's 70 degrees humidity now, which is quite high for here at this moment in time. And I know if it goes above 60 something, my fingers hurt. So what I've discovered is, I've done the little T-touch pressure between 2 and 3. And what really I find works is it's that connection of the it's when you actually physically or sort of connect the what I'm doing physically and connecting to the understanding of what you are actually doing is where the link is. So for instance, you said about saying about I love you, I love my body. But what I discovered was what I was doing with my dog every day was I was saying to him, I love you, and I smiled at him. But I never did it for myself. And when you said it in one of the sessions, I linked that into what I was doing for him. And it was obviously his pathways were lighting up, because it's like, you're saying that you love me and I love you back. So it made me think, well, I should be doing that for myself. So when I actually do this, it's more about the saying I love you than anything, because I suppose that's what you mean by the spark. That's what actually creates the thing that actually helps. And I won't say cures, but I'll say it heals, because it helps this pain go away within seconds. So it's linking it all up. And what you've been talking about people talking about utilizing the in their mind and thinking about the movements. Because in the past I've had chronic pain, I don't have chronic pain anymore. I used to visualize, and I used to block off certain areas of my brain to where the pain was traveling and blocking off the pain receptors. And I sort of explained it to someone, and they said to me, well, that's actually, you're doing self-hypnosis. So I'm wondering whether some of the things that people have spoken about, they're probably using a form of self-hypnosis in dealing with their pain issues, both physically and emotionally, would you say? It's a question out there to everybody.
Well, what I would say, there's so many different ways of seeing their words. And when we, whatever works for you that makes you have improves your quality of life and is valuable, not harmful, is really making a difference. And what I'd like to think about, and I congratulate you, because I mean, the fact that whatever you use it, self-hypnosis, what about, maybe it's just self-communication? Because when you say hypnosis, does that mean we're hypnotizing ourselves into recognizing that we're brilliant and that Perfect. Divine?
Yeah.
And when we go to a deeper level, like for years, this work has worked for years without knowing all of this. But when I recognize, when I read this from this amazing neurologist scientist who talks about the function, like the jobs that function that each part of the cell has, and then she talks about connecting to these energy waves that allow communication and interconnection with that source that is the source of all of the beauty around us. When we connect to that energetic source, that's, I talk about the divine spark in every cell in our body. Something is making every cell run. It's the creative force in the universe.
Can I say one other thing? It's more unsightly than anything, but they say that when it gets painful, you might need surgery, especially on the wrist. But I have, you won't be able to see it. I have a, is it, I don't know if you call it the same in all countries, a ganglion.
Oh yeah, a ganglion, yes.
And it because of where it is, it became really, really sore.
Yeah.
And it was like that when I first started in, when we started this course in July. So this was what I decided to work on. I haven't actually done that much work, but with the intention and the days that I remember to work on it, it's reduced and there's no pain to it ever anymore. And it used to have, it was very, very painful. And it used to be hard to touch. It's actually soft now.
And the thing is, you can just, you know, just when you're sitting, doing stuff, having a few moments in slack time, just with that, just a tiny, like, touches around the ganglia. That is the first success that I knew about with T-Touch when I started doing the circular touches, was a massage therapist who was in my horse course. And I had everybody, it was a weekend, it was one day horse training when I started to show the, this is 1983 in July. And I showed the touches on the horses. And then I had people practice on each other so they would know what it felt. It was really simple in those days. Like, it wasn't even 1 1/4. It was 1 and a little bit more. And a woman with a massage therapist had a ganglia on the bottom of her foot, and she tried all kinds of things, and she wasn't able to work because she couldn't stand on it. It was so painful. And I said, I don't know if it'll help you or not, but it won't hurt you. And she just did those touch, little what we call raccoon touches, the tiniest touches around this, and disappeared. And ganglia come and go. And so you can just know, talk to it like you are. Send love, thank you, and work on it in this way.
Yeah, I won't need a big Bible, as they say, as the old doctors used to say, get a Bible.
Whack it, right?
Yeah. I just do my tea touches.
So just tea touch around it and give the message. This is the eighth element of the nine elements. Remember your perfection. And we're talking about this at the cellular level. Remember your, and that relates to it. Remember your potential for ideal function. That's the perfection at the cellular level. And connect to that divine spark that makes this body run. And just think of this thing, this energy waves that allow communication and interconnection. And that's the communication that we're looking for. Now, I want to give you something a little more specific. And I'm so happy that, like, when your fingers swell, what's actually happening? If we think of it from one of the things that's happening, is the communication between the cells is interrupted. No? And the light in the cells, there's less light. So this is how this is how I suggest we all do this for a few minutes. I've got to get my hand up here again so I don't have to just hold it up there. Now let's start with I'm going to start working on my left hand, and I put the thumb on one side, the middle finger is underneath, and I'm going to go down the inside. The middle finger is just curved and supporting it. I'm going to do a circle and a quarter and then a little push up, like a little lift up toward the hand. Now, if that isn't comfortable, just do the circle and a quarter and a little pause. But I'm going to now go onto the joint very gently in your case, and then up toward the hand. Now I'm going to give you two choices actually, because some of you will like this and some won't. So if you don't like, let's go down this one way and then we'll go down the next finger another way. So I'm going to give you two choices, but we'll do the whole finger first like this and just do a circle and a quarter. Use my breath. Pause. And easy, slow out, like. And expand your belly and your back. And first, and then your chest. Now, circle and a quarter. Just with the one finger and then both fingers and thumbs. I forgot the thumb, sorry. Just lift up lightly toward the hand. Breathe, pause. Circle and a quarter.
So yep. when you push at the end of the circle and a quarter, do you push with the thumb as well at the same time?
Try both and see what you like. Okay. Normally I do, right now it's too much.
Yeah, so it's dependent normally on how it feels.
How okay. does it feel to you? For my hand doesn't want it. My hand wants the thumb to stay still, and I just do a little direction up toward the hand.
I think it depends on the finger. I'm not on my bad finger, so I'm okay with it.
Okay, and now what you want, all of you, I want you, if you've got some finger that's an issue, just be thinking like finger with the issue, what you're calling your bad finger. Let's call it your teacher finger. Something yes. you're going to learn that's about good. Yourself so you can take care of your whole body. So just say the feel, just send a message to the finger that's not ideal what this feels like when it is good. Okay, so we did that one. Now, I'm going to go to the next finger, and instead of circle and a quarter and move toward the knuckles, I'm going to do circle and a quarter, and both are going to lift up. Mm-hmm. Circle and a quarter with one forefinger, and both do a little lift, not toward the heavens. Can you see how this finger is folded underneath, like curved around, supporting it? Mm-hmm. Circle and a quarter, and both are going to do a little stretch upward. Really enjoying, celebrating the breath. Now, if you have, like, if you can't breathe out so much, if it's a little hard to breathe out, like, do it less, like, ease out. How can we make this just a gentle out, because I know some of you have issues with the out breath. No. If you liked one more than the other, I'm going to give you a third to try. Okay, on this ring finger, circle and a quarter with the forefinger, and now with both the thumb and the forefinger, a gentle. It's not even a squeeze. It's just a make a connection between the thumb and forefinger. Move down, circle and a quarter with the forefinger. Now, is that too much for you, Charlotte?
No, it's fine. Yeah. But what's interesting is the second one you did was
That is the lift upward.
Yeah, that really made... See, it sounds strange, but you'll probably say, well, that's how it should be. It made my finger think.
You made your fingers what?
It made it think. So it's like my finger has a brain. So I'm assuming it's like changing the way it has been to become how it should be, to be its optimum.
Yeah, to, you know, the old American Army used to have a saying, to be all you can be.
Yeah.
So we'll help our bodies to be all they can be.
So it was a bit of a funny feeling, because it was like an extension of my brain was in my finger, because it was talking back to me saying, oh, that's interesting. I quite like that.
That's interesting. So now let's do the little finger in the choice of the three.
Right.
And every finger might be different, might like something different. Now, you might ask, why do we do it inside and outside instead of top and bottom? Because the top and bottom are, we're using that all the time. Sorry about that. Hold on, I didn't turn that phone off.
Linda, we can barely hear it. It's
oh,
so
good. Okay.
Yeah, it's off in the background. It's good.
Thank you, Eleanor. Okay. Now, I want us just to, I want to see you all again. Oh, I've got this light going on, so it's hard for me to see. Maybe that will work. Okay. Now, just think about this. So why are we doing the hands? Remember, we are connecting to all parts of the hands. Now, we're just doing the fingers, because in the palm, you can get to the whole intestinal area. I mean, all these different parts. But we're just doing the fingers right now, because that seems to be what stiffens up so often and gives people issues. Now, let's do the other. Normally, we'll go down. Now, we did the inside, and we will now go down the outside, but I'm going to, instead of doing that right now, just because I want to do some other things with you all, we're going to switch to the other hand and see if there's any difference with the other hand. Let's just take a nice few nice deep breaths and really fill your belly, your back, your ribs, like your diaphragm, your chest, your upper ribs, like, So, actually, before I start, I want to see everybody. I want to know if there are any other thoughts or questions. I don't want to miss this. And, Peter, I didn't have a chance to check with you the last time. Do you have any comments or questions? You just came in the last time. And any questions, thoughts? You're unmute, you're down. Yeah, there you are.
Am I good? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I have lots and lots of questions and comments, but the main two things for me was, I mean, during the week, it was really very clear to me that it had to be done with gratitude. I had to kind of, and it had to be a fairly, I don't know if you'd think this is the right word, it had to be kind of like a neutral gratitude. I found that I was thanking my feet for supporting me, but that it seemed to make more sense to just thank them for being there rather than for doing a specific job or kind of.
Interesting.
And the other thing that's, yes, I've been doing this a lot when I get up from meditating in the morning, because my legs go to sleep, and I find that I can sit longer with it before I get to that point where they opt out, as it were. But I did have one question that came up just a few minutes ago when you were talking about working around a place. And I was wondering if there was a, I mean, I'm sure that one can explore this, but whether there's a preference for avoiding working directly where there's a problem or a pain in order to, I mean, like you were saying, to not orient towards the pain or make the pain into a problem?
That's a really good question. And the thing, I did this specifically on the ganglia, because sometimes it's painful. And thank you for that, because actually work around it, Charlotte, and then work gently on it. Mm. So don't avoid it, but work on it and see, say with a tube pressure, whatever, with what pressure is it sensitive? And then work around it, around the areas where it's not sensitive, and then go back to it and check with the same pressure, and you will find that, it's not painful now. It's what with you weren't in the class when we started with Jewel Duke, like a couple of months ago. She had bone on bone pain in both knees and an eight pain all the time. And so what I did was guide her down the leg. And Eleanor, I think with your leg pain, I think we want to do that also. Work down and find out, wait a minute, there were other areas of pain. And just find those areas of pain, find at what pressure is that uncomfortable. And then either if it's too much, go off to the side of that area and go down, or even go lighter and then go back and check it. So that's a really important question. Only avoid it if you can't touch it without it hurting, and then you register that, now I want to come back to that and be able to actually touch it everywhere. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you. That's really good for me. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. Now, anybody else, as we're doing this with your hands, anyone else realizing anything? And just keep thinking. You don't need to know where these places are, where the connections are to the rest of the body. Just know that as we acknowledge our hands, and it's really important, if you have things about your hands that you don't like, find some way of wearing something that attracts you, that you like around your wrist, doing something to make your hand, maybe making a temporary tattoo. No, I'm just kidding. Find something about your hand that for which you can give gratitude. And because it really makes a difference how your hands work, if you can accept them. I keep coming back to this beautiful, beautiful man who had only like half an inch of fingers. It was one of the most poignant, beautiful hours of my life when I had that opportunity to support his gratitude, because he was coming from a place of gratitude. He got it. And that's seldom. And to be able to be a part of that and have someone else touch those hands, because everybody avoids something they don't like the looks of, or most people do. And to give that gift of seeing the beauty of that and saying, wow, you've got a hand, you could have lost more. That's a gift. So if we can find things that we love about our hands, and that, Charlotte, what you said about loving it, that is the love overrides the fear. And if you can't love it, love the divine spark in it. Wow, the fact that it works, that's the wow factor. Anybody else have anything about this that you'd like to share? And I know it's easy to be shy. I mean, it's normal to be shy, not easy, it's normal. And yet it's a great gift to yourself and to others when you share your feelings or your thoughts or your questions. And so please remember.
Go ahead.
Please remember in this class, that any skepticism that you have is really welcome, because it's normal for us to be skeptical. And let's look at that. Now, if somebody told me that you could just do this, you know, from these little circular touches, you could release fear and pain, you wouldn't believe it if you hadn't seen it. And Victoria Ehrensdorf, I see your hand is up. Marianne, I'll get her first.
And then Charlotte after.
Thank you.
Hi, Linda and everyone. Linda, thank you so much. First, your story about the vet who lost most of his fingers reminds me of when I was actively interpreting between deaf and hearing people. I was at a theater performance one night. We were in the lobby at a break, and I watched a woman signing who had been born with almost no fingers. And it was beautiful to watch how I was going to get my doctorate in linguistics before I found Feldenkrais and American Sign Language and study at Georgetown University. So I knew enough about linguistics of sign language to know that most of the information is on the hands and the face and the movement of the body, and not so much on the fingers. But to see it, to actually see this woman just totally comfortably be signing with hands that were very misshapen, as we would normally call it, was gorgeous. It was just gorgeous. And to see how clearly she was communicating, how clearly her friends were understanding, yeah, it was really nice. So I'm not sure I could talk about it today, but I've had a lot of chronic pain for most of my life. And I think I wanna just continue to explore more the circles of T-Touch. And I connected with Sally Morgan today too. She was excited to hear about this Tuesday class. And so I wanna work with it more. But thank you so much for this class. I'm really, really grateful. I have a really big request. It looks like my mother is much closer to dying. My request is that everybody hold her, because she's pretty isolated still. I mean, she hasn't had her family around her the way we would normally be around her. And I just felt like this group would be beautiful and powerful in holding Shirley Peterson in East Central Iowa.
Oh, beautiful. And where is she, at home or
she's in a rehab unit 1 mile from my brother's home. And my brother and his wife's 99-year-old mother is there. My mother just turned 89. So they haven't been able to see, you know, like I went out for my one allowed day, and so it's the thought of someone dying. Hard enough work, right? That's already hard enough work sometimes. And for her, it's been very hard. And then to add figuring out nobody's there to be with you.
So what I recommend that you do is, this is where you can do the heart hug on yourself. And just imagine that you are there with her, actually doing this with her. And can you give us her name again?
Shirley Peterson.
Shirley Peterson. And that you're there with her. And I really recommend that you take time several times a day and just do this, but you can also imagine that you're there with her and really set the scene. And when you're working with somebody from a distance, one of the things that you can do is, like, I recommend, where do you think, if you were there with her, where would she like to have your hands with very gentle touches? Where do you think she would like that?
I think upper arm, and maybe her neck, but maybe for a little further away from the center of her body, maybe her upper arm or her forearm.
Okay. And so that's a really wonderful thing to do with seniors who are not used to being detached. And just this really gentle work where you put your hand on, and you can do this. I've got my hand up, but I'd have it rested. And I imagine I'm there with her. I'm just doing that right now. And I very gently, and I support the weight of my own hand. I just support, and I make like just this very light on an 80-year-old butterfly touches. You know, very light. It's even less than a one. And I'm using my palm in this case to move in a circle. And no, I'm not going to do a lift even. Too much. Just a circle and a quarter and a pause. And then let's do this on ourselves. And if you have family anywhere you'd like to be with, you can imagine doing this, or just yourself. Nice breath. Circle and a quarter, and then in this case, I'm going to do a little lift of the skin up toward my elbow. And that would be, I think, okay on her. And now here on the upper arm. Feel when you give the lift up to your shoulder, what that feels like. How it relaxes all your abdominal muscles and just frees all that up. And we'll be talking about that on our next class on Sunday. Eleanor will be going into how all of that affects the whole vagus system. How does this feel? Circle and a quarter and a lift. And just imagine she can feel this as you feel it on your own body. Let's all do the other arm now because it feels so good to us. I'm going to start down on my hand here. You be with your mom and I'll be there with you. Circle and a quarter. I'm just using the soft part of my hand. That's what we call a lying leopard. I'm thinking of soft paws of a leopard right now. And you decide on your own. On my arm wants to lift after. It's called the coiled python touch. The circle or into lift and up. Listen to my breath. In and out. Notice my thumb is doing a little, like a little connection between my fingers and thumb.
Nice. Thank you.
And let's just pause and just be here now. Now, I am going to leave the other hand for the fingers because it was more important that we move on to this. And actually, I really wanted to do this part on the arms today. When I woke up this morning, it's one of the things I want you to do because it's so, if you're stressed or just tired, wow, this circle and a quarter and moving up, doing that lift up to the shoulder is really effective.
Stretch.
Yep. How does that feel now too, thinking about being with her in this way?
It feels perfect. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And what I recommend that you do as you set the scene, you first of all, just imagine if you were there with her, where would you like to be? Take her out, imagine taking her out into the forest or surrounding her, where she would love to be, with colors around her, with fabrics, with flowers, whatever she would like. And imagine that and know that our thoughts create reality. We can send the energy of this, the feeling of this to her.
Nice.
And can you get a message to her that you're doing this?
I can. I think I can. Yeah. I was singing to her for a while too, and she said that reduced her pain, that she could listen to it on a recorder, on the phone. And then she kind of didn't want me to sing anymore. I'm not sure. But I sang to her several times, both in person and over the phone. Yeah.
Nice. Well, if you just tell her that we're doing this visualization and you're setting the scene, and either ask her if you can. I mean, like with my mom, I could easily have done this. Ask her, okay, my mom would like to be somewhere by the ocean. Where would your mother like to be if you could go there with her now?
Hawaii. She would like to be in Hawaii, Linda.
Yeah, that was my mom. Came every year. So ask her that, and then just visualize that. And by the visualization and the smiling with it and the feeling, like imagine what is it that you would feel, and smell and feel and hear. What would you hear? And by bringing in all of these senses to you, you can connect with her cell to cell, heart to heart and soul to soul, and let her know what's happening. I want to tell you all a story. Sometimes sharing with our loved ones, if you can't be with them doing this. I think, Eleanor, maybe you remember, it was 4 or 5 months ago. In the Sunday classes, normally I do a session where we lead you into a forest, an ancient forest. And we did this, and every day, time is different. I don't plan it. I don't know what's supposed to come. But that day, I asked everybody to call in their mothers. And I'd like to those right now, for those of you who have moms, and you can't be with them, or you can be with them, just imagine that they're here with us, listening. So I had everybody call in their mothers, and one of women who's usually with us called in her mother, and she was so surprised because we went for a walk holding hands and then actually did some tea touch on each other. And she saw her mother as like a young girl as her mom. And she decided after the class the next day, she called her mother, and they had been estranged for years. She hadn't spoken to her for years. It was just through this class that she decided to call her and tell her that she'd done this, and that she was so surprised that she saw her as a young girl. And what unknown to her is that she, when she was born, her mother was 15. And all those years, they hadn't had a good connection. So she jumped in a car and drove about 4 hours and spent a weekend with her mother. This is this within the last 6 months. And she hadn't done this for years. And she's in her 40s approximately. And she went home. And 3 days later, she had this very strange feeling that her mother was going to die. And she did. And the fact, that her mother, she told her mother was so excited that they had been together in this visualized forest. And sharing this story, it's amazing what happens when we sometimes bring our moms, or maybe it's a sister or a father, whoever for you who's important, bring them in here and just imagine can be. And imagine that you can be with them also like this. I am going to, I want to read just another page from the book that I'm getting ready to put out and make available in a PDF. I read a little bit about it from last week. And this is in the chapter that's getting into touch with yourself. This is part of appreciating yourself. And I can't remember how far I went before, but I just I want to pick this up here. It's easy to lose touch with that source, that universal self. We are born with bodies as amazingly individual as fingerprints and as marvelously varied as shells on a beach. However, it seems very hard for each of us to see and appreciate our own unique packaging. Take the simple fact of feet. A stunning example of natural engineering, delicate and complicated, yet powerful enough to support the full weight of an entire body. Still, we abuse our poor feet and complain that they're too big or wide or flat or narrow. Some of us, consciously or unconsciously, want to be reflections of what our society considers beautiful. I've caught myself looking with irritation at the soft, I read this last week, but I'll read it again, vulnerable curve of my stomach, annoyed that it isn't as flat as an ironing board. I've heard a friend refer disparagingly to her sturdy, strong legs as thick as oak trees. How harshly we judge the miracle of our living, breathing selves. It's a gentle, rounded tummy. Is that shameful? Does nature prefer a birch tree to an oak? Such negative self-images give you the sense of being divided against yourself, when to be healthy and happy means accepting your body as complete and whole, just as it is, warts and all. So how can we change our negative perceptions of our body? This is where the self-nurture of the T-Touch comes in. Reuniting your mind with the body from which your negative opinions has separated you, bringing you to a place of acceptance, appreciation, and love for the blessing of your physical being. I think I began to have a glimmer of a way to heal this division in consciousness of self in the early 1980s. It was when I was going through a bout of fear and self-doubt, wondering if my work in developing the T-Touch was really valuable or whether I was deluding myself. During this period, I went for a walk with my friend Chris Griscom, a highly regarded visionary, author, and woman gifted with extraordinary insight. She has the Light Institute in Galisteo, New Mexico, and I've done many, many, many regressions with her. We hiked out into her backyard, the subtle pastel world of the New Mexican desert with its enormous expanse of sky and luminous clouds. And I told Chris about my new insights concerning cellular intelligence and how I felt that T-Touch was a way of directly connecting with that intelligence. Oh, I don't see any problem there at all. You have to understand, this is like in the 80s. And when I first started talking about cellular intelligence, nobody was talking about cells in those days in my world or any world that I knew. It was before AIDS, actually. Oh, I don't see any problem at all there, she said, stopping on the Arroyo Trail to look at me. Chris is small and delicate and her presence is light, but when she focuses her attention on you, her voice and smile pack a lot of clear power. Fear and pain and grief are stored in the cells, she told me. And when you release those emotions at a cellular level, you create room for love and joy. Yes, this simple statement made absolute perfect sense to me. Fear, anger, pain, jealousy. I think of these emotions and other responses like them as devices for coping and survival that are encoded in the very chemistry of our cells, programming passed down in our bodies as the biological legacy of our earliest human ancestry. Sometimes a rush of anger or fear is just the energy you need to respond to a momentary situation. Sometimes pain is like a red flashing distress signal getting you to pay attention. Grief can actually be the first step to healing. But usually, moments of past pain and fear carried in the body-mind, as scientist Candace Pert calls it, are not helpful to you in the present. Just as Chris said, I believe we must release these memories at a cellular level in order to open to the experience of love and joy. Sometimes past traumas crystallize into rejecting self-images. I remember sitting next to a woman at a celebratory dinner after a horse training clinic I'd given in Montana. We were a pretty animated bunch, and while she seemed to be joining in the fun and banter, I noticed that she was self-conscious about her left hand, keeping it tucked under the table whenever possible. Several years later, a part of one finger had been cut off in an accident, and the finger joint remaining was a pale, slightly bluish color. I'd noticed it when I first met and shaken hands with her, and when I asked her about it, she told me her finger had been caught and mangled in a rope when she was working with horse. "I kind of avoid thinking about this finger at all," she said, glancing down at it with distaste. When I asked her if I could do T-touch work on her hand, she agreed, and so between dinner courses, I do this a lot. I get an opportunity to be with people in a different way. I took her hand in mine and made very light circles, raccoon touches with a pressure 3 on the area around the base of the fingers and on the damaged remaining joint. If I could have translated the nonverbal communication conveyed by the T-touch at that moment, the words would have gone something like, "This finger is a part of you." This is what I was thinking. As precious as all the rest of your body, and it's good to get to know and appreciate it. By dessert time, I noticed she was no longer trying to hide her hand in her lap. "I felt different about it. I feel different about it," she told me. I was thrilled. "Fortunately, you didn't lose your entire finger," I said. "This part is still there, functioning the very best it can." And so it goes. Actually, that person is now, after 27 years, one of our most senior instructors. That was her first time with me. So I would like to know if any of you have anything that you would like to share from the last time. And I'm going to end a little early today because I am creating 2 PowerPoints for a big online conference. And oh my goodness, I've got to finish it today. But I really want to hear from some of you. Just if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, Gary and Sandy, how you're doing. Yana, I'd love to know how you're doing, Ariel. How's everybody? Anybody? Jewel, how are you? How are your shins, Jewel?
Hey, Linda?
Yes, Sandy.
We just
Sandy,
wanted
Sandy Smith.
Yeah.
And the Bears.
Right. Yes. And we still have Bears in the yard. But what we wanted to say is we're doing well. And with, I think what kind of helps with what we were talking today is, not long ago, I had a wasp sting on my thumb and it swelled up. And what I found myself doing in order to help it is I started out by doing the snail's tail. So it's a clockwise snail's tail to 9, and you come down back to 6. Then I did a counterclockwise snail's tail, coming back around, and you're
and
6.
And just Sandy, just so they understand, that's just a quarter of a circle. It's just a little arc.
Mm-hmm.
From 6 up to 9 or 6 to 3.
Yes. And counterclockwise, you go then from the 6 to the 3 and you come back. And what I realized with doing that is that it forms a smile. When you go from the 6 to the 9 and back, and then from the 6 to the 3 and back, it automatically puts a smile to the T-touch. And within, I would say, 6 hours, that actually took the sting and the swelling right out of where it was all swollen. And now today, where it's really hurting, I find myself doing the 2 circles clockwise and counterclockwise with a smile, and it actually puts one on your face. It's a reminder. So that's what we're doing up here in the North Woods.
Super. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Anyone else with a little chicken?
Can I say something?
Please, Yana.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm late. I have things going on, but I will look at the replay. But I just wanted to say that what you were just talking about before just totally shot me back to the very first Feldenkrais practitioner I ever met. And her name was Forestine Pauley. I have lost touch with her. I think she lives in Westchester. And one of the very first things she ever did, and I was a pianist back then, and I was having all kinds of tension, she did very small circles in between the third and fourth finger. And I haven't thought about this in years. And this is before I ever did Feldenkrais. And she just sat there holding my hand. So when you were talking about the woman with the hand, I just immediately, I like got chills because I thought that was the very first time I met a Feldenkrais person. And here she was doing these circles. And she was just trying to release. There was a lot of tension between my third and fourth finger. And so that whole recollection just came swarming back into my mind. And wow. So it just sort of blew my mind. And the other thing I wanted to say is I have been working on everything you were talking about last week and the face, and just, I keep doing everything and it just keeps making more differences. And I love this work. I'm just, yeah, I'm one of the converted now. I've been doing a ton of heart hugs. And also for all my friends and family in Oregon who have been evacuated and just constantly thinking about them, and, you know, it's tough times out there. So,
yes.
But thank you. Thank you for that story. I just really, wow.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Eleanor has, I'd like to discuss this, Eleanor, with you. We just talked for a moment in our break, and what we can do to bring the energies in the fires, because it's, oh my gosh, when we, do you want to unmute yourself, Eleanor?
Yeah.
These fires, if we see the vision of the fires, what can we do instead of buying into that, which doesn't help? What could we do to offset that? How can we bring a positive thought to this? And if we concentrate on this all together, let's hold the nature. It's a combination of things, and I'm just feeling this, thinking this. Debbie had to go. I'm sure she's not here now. She had to get back to work. But we were talking before also about this idea. What we were doing with her place is not buying into the fear and really holding that for everyone. And Eleanor, let's just talk about.
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about how our self-talk, when we're doing the circle and a quarter on an area that's needing help, and then you talked about othering, right? And I went, oh my goodness, when we are in this state of angst over the West Coast of the United States with fire, that angst is the othering. And instead, we can hold not the perfection in the cells, in the nature, in our universe, but we can hold the potential for this in the nature and in the universe. And you know, she kind of always still comes back, right?
And that's really important to remember. And last night I was listening to the mayor of one of the towns in Louisiana, saying that if we hold the potential of people to help each other, that's what brought them back before, and that's what we can do. And here, to hold hold the potential for help with the rain, with the weather, but also holding the long-term help, this infinite possibilities of helping each other, to reaching out. One of the things that two days ago, one of my friends sent me a list that we actually posted on our Facebook, where you can, if you want to send money for help, and I'm going to send help to the the workers in that area that have no support at all because they don't have papers, but that whole area in the farm section depends on them. And so one of the things is, however we can do to reach out with prayers, with holding the support, giving them a feeling of caring, of the communities coming together, making a difference. Yeah, it's and this time on our planet, wow, we're in a time where it's really easy to fall into that fear, and knowing that gratitude overrides fear, and not to say there's no fear, that's just not possible, but to say, wait a minute, what can I do specifically to override that fear? And one of the things is to get out of the sympathetic state of fight, flight, freeze, you know, or other, as Eleanor said, shut it off. That means no feeling. But coming to, what can we do? Prayers, holding whatever we can, holding the infinite possibility for healing. And that's what we can do in our own bodies. That's and Linda,
it's interesting when you talk, the opposite of fear in five element theory, acupuncture, is courage. And fear sits in the water element. In fire, the out of balance energy is panic. And so when the natural chi comes back into flow, things come back into balance. So fear is replaced with courage. Like you said, it's not a place where you don't have worry or have, but it's replaced with courage. Yep. And with that comes balance again.
Yep. Ah. So my dear friends, is before we end, is there anybody who would like to just ask Charlotte Walker?
Hi. So when we were talking about the hand and I was wondering what the emotions are related to that in relation to people having this issue with hands. And then I Googled the law of attraction it had about different parts of the body and pain and stuff. And what's interesting is after Victoria spoke and you told about working on the hands for her mother, it says, it's a very short snippet. I'll just read it for you. When you consider that you use your hands to fix things, reach out to others and experience the world, it's no wonder that pain in the hands has been linked to the excessive levels of isolation. So I'm thinking now, and especially if you can't see people, why might you be keeping to yourself, feeling particularly shy or avoiding contact? Well, we know the reason for that now. And then it says, when you figure the answer out, you'll know what you need to do to ease the pain. So that's collective pain, I would say. And then it made me think about the fact that you can't see your mother, Victoria. And it took me back to a place where, sorry, I'm getting emotional. My previous dog was a therapy dog and we went into nursing homes. And I didn't teach him this, But every time he saw someone laying in the bed, and there were some people who were in that room to pass over, he would go and lick their hands. And the emotions that everybody had from him having that contact and licking their hands was a connection of us as beings within this world we live in. And sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional about it, but actually I do. It would have been his 15th birthday today, I just realized. So he passed.
Celebrate that.
He passed a few years ago, but he was a healer, and he made me realize that I had healing abilities too. So I think when you worked on the hands and then it triggered that memory, that this is key. We need to work on hands, distance healing of hands for people who are in hospices and in hospitals and nursing homes, because this is what my dog taught me, that hands are everything. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. And you know what? It's wonderful to feel that emotion, because we're feeling, and you're feeling that love, and we can feel that love that you had for this amazing being in your life. And they're always with us. So amazing that this is, yes, the anniversary.
Yeah, he's sitting on my shoulder here.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to share? So I'd like to read, this is this book that you've seen, this Voices of Nature poems, and from the fairies, the trees, the stars, and the breeze. And this is one, it's a really simple one. It's called At One with Nature. When I see God in the trees, the grass, the rocks, the animals, I am whole. When I see nature as one with me, I am in balance, which affects all of the planet. And when we connect in this way, I reach my arms out because I'm connecting to the left, where I see the beautiful ocean through the tops of the palm trees, and here I see the volcanic mountain up. That way I can see trees. It's just connecting however you can with nature at this time. And just let's do one last heart hug together. And take time each day, each evening, to count three blessings in your life. It's what we know, that we send that energy out around the planet each time we do that. And if anybody's having trouble getting in and wants to get into the Facebook site, just put your name in the chat and Kirsten will contact you to help you get in. There was a question before for that. And Eleanor, are you still here? She may have had to leave.
No, I'm here. You inspired to leave.
Is this coming Sunday when we're on again? Is that right? Next Sunday?
I think so, because we're meeting tomorrow and Thursday, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see you. We hope we'll see you all on Sunday.
Yep. 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. See you here, number 3.
Sending much love to you all. And thank you, Marianne.
You're welcome. Lovely to be here.
And thank you, Linda, in this time that you give us this peace of mind. Bless you. Poof.
Truly bless you. I think I'm going to start doing it with my, I have a little grandson who's 10 weeks old right now, 8 weeks old. and he's in pain, and I think I'm going to start doing the Tellington circles.
And if Yael is still here, darn, I forgot to ask you how you are. Yes, you're still here. I always have to do my check-in with Israel.
One question. Linda, someone was just saying something about a baby. Did they have a question, a baby that's in pain? Who was speaking?
It's Ronnie. I was just holding him. He's only 8 weeks old, and he was crying. He's got stomach issues, but I realized from what I'm getting from all this, I can do that with him. I can
now,
do that.
What you want to do with the, is he right there?
No, he just left. He was in pain. I was holding him.
Okay, so one of the things, it's so simple, and I learned this actually in Russia because I was there 10 times as a citizen diplomat working with these amazing healers, and you just put him over your arm and come underneath and do these very gentle lifts around the belly. Put him face down on the arm, so his, you know, his head's out and you're supporting him, and come from underneath. And then the other thing is, I love doing this with little tiny ones. Then you very gently work his little ears, just a little thumb behind the ear, but do the belly first, and just really gentle T touches. Forefinger is in that really, see right in the little bowl of the ear, the thumb is behind it, very gentle. This is a really natural thing, and small children, once you show them this, I mean, not that baby, obviously, but children, like even a year old, will do their own ears after you show them. I mean, it's a natural thing to do. But I'd like to ask you, is he crying a lot?
Yes. Yes. And he's arching, and he's on formula, not breast, so they're always changing that. And has difficulty also going to sleep, yes.
And yes. And has he got a diaper on?
Yes, yes.
Be careful that the diaper isn't too tight, because after they drink and that belly expands, I've worked on a really young one who was like crying all the time after eating, and he was he's bloated and blowing up and really tight, but really gentle. And now that's where you want to do the gentle ear work. And this whole ear, you can work the whole digestive area with that. Mm-hmm. It's just, and this, do you have the possibility of movement? This is where cradles would be.
Yeah, I do that. I was just oming sound and vibration really helps him. A lot, and
movement. I'm sure, and movement. Remember the movement. I don't know why they don't make cradles anymore. Isn't that weird to stay still if you think about it? Mm-hmm. It's just this, you have to do it yourself in your arms, the movement, but can't do that all the time. But this gentle movement of the ears, and you can get over the digestive issues. Wow. I mean, obviously they're working to try to figure out what the problem is, because it can be an allergy. It can also be an allergy, and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm happy I brought that up. I mean, I just had him. He was crying and everything. I said, oh, my gosh, I can do the touch. And
belly, but also, like, really feather-like touches, like a one pressure, no more. And you can do it. And his little back. Kirsten, are you still with us?
Yes.
I
am.
Can you show them the picture of Louis? Because this was, he has got his arched back. You're describing that arched back, that painful position. And that's where you want to work on the little belly and up the sides of the back very, very gently. Instead of rubbing or massage, just these gentle touches.
One sec.
We want to show you something. This was, I meant to start with this, and then we just got rolling. And this is a...
Yeah, I just put it away.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It just took me longer to find it.
This is a 2.5 month old orangutan, and this is where the orang touch came from. His name is Louis II. This was in the San Diego Zoo nursery. And they had, his mother had rejected them, and he was losing weight. And they'd had a pediatrician in, and they couldn't help him. And he couldn't drink, couldn't take a whole bottle down. And after he did drink, they couldn't burp him because they didn't have enough time. And there he is. I worked his little mouth, and then got him to suck on my thumb. And let's see what other pictures. We have a little video. Now I'm doing a little ear to touch on him. And very gently. And now I start on his little belly, because his little belly was distended and not comfortable. And I was told you can never touch a primate's belly, they won't let you. Mm-hmm. He was so grateful. Do I have one touching his little back? Because that was one of the big signs, his back was arched.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay, well, that's more on the belly. And so what he was doing, when they pick him up, he'd arch his back. Mm-hmm. And then when you arch your back, just try it yourself, you arch your back and you can't suck on the, you can't swallow, it's really hard. So I had to lift his little back and with it from the belly, and then he sucked the whole bottle down. And then the question is, how do you burp them? And you should know this for your newborn. Right. Instead of, just do the ear to touch. It takes max a minute, but usually about 30 seconds. Just gentle circle and a quarter and a little tiny, tiny lift and stretch. And it just burps them like that.
Wow. I'm happy I mentioned it. I bless you.
Me too. I just
bless you in general. And what you're giving, and now what we all are bringing, will change many. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Very happy to be part.
Beautiful. Of it. Thank you very much. What's the little one's name?
It's a beautiful name. My children are Orthodox Jewish. It's Yosef after Samba, but Yosef Shalom for peace.
Yosef
Shalom, which is the peace. Yeah, Yosef Shalom.
Thank you. So, I guess it's goodbye right for now, right? I'm really reluctant to leave you all. We didn't hear from you. Thank you. Jerusalem, I want to know how you are.
Here many things are going on, but in 3 days, we're going to have the high holidays. It's going to be a new year.
Ah.
In 3 days. Yeah. And it says in all kinds of scripts that actually the whole human race is it's getting like everything is shut down, and in a split second we get renewed. It's like the thing we do to the computer, but a little bit, you know, more than that. It's like all of us, we get shut down and renewed with the light through the whole year. So I wish
you. Thank you.
Happy New Year, all of you. Wonderful to be with you. Wonderful.
Thank you, Yael, to you too.
Thank you.
Blessings. Till Sunday. We'll see you Sunday. Aloha. And Francoise, you're still there.